building. I think, yeah.
We're on.
Welcome to the Tin Biscuit Podcast. Today we've got a new guest, and that is...
Dan here from Rune Silk. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. You originally got in touch with me, didn't you, through Instagram, saying that you wanted to come on the podcast. Because can you tell us what you do and a bit more about why you got in contact, and we can go from there?
Yeah, so I mean, I saw your beard as well, so that was the main thing that sort of spurred me to get in touch. So so I founded Rune Silk a long time ago now. Only recently, 18 months ago, we brought out some beard care stuff. So we've got some beard oils, some beard balms. We're literally just about to drop a beard butter next week. So the product's made, we've just been waiting for the labels to come back from Ford. And we're a very small independent company based in Cambridge in the UK. And, you know, what better way to kind of get some awareness of our brand and speak to another bearded person about what we do.
But yeah, that's it. What's beard butter, just to let people know, because I'm sure I've used beard balm, I've used beard soap and oil, which you guys sent me some samples of the oil, and I put it on today. I put it first thing in the morning, I've just had a shower, and I did wash my beard, and I can still smell it, and it still feels soft. Nice. So even...
But a beard butter... beard butter's quite new for us. I mean, to be honest, beard balms were new for us. I recently wrote an article about why beard butter. And when I first started growing a beard, it was literally just, you know, I bought all of the beard oils from Tesco, Sainsbury's, Poundland, you name it. It was always a gift in the stocking. It was always, you know, I think I had an advent calendar from my mum once that had 24 different beard oils in it all the way up to Christmas. So
I've seen them. So they're pretty good ones, they are, yeah.
Yeah, some really nice ones, some belters in there. But and I think, so I always thought, beard oil, you know, that's all you need for a beard, right? And then I started delving more deeply into some of the Facebook communities. I mean, there's groups, some brilliant names like Home of the Beardos and Guardians of the Beard. So, I mean, there's some really, really cracking groups out there. And I discovered beard balm, and that was the first time I'd kind of ever really seen it. And I was already sort of playing around with some oils and stuff like that before we released them. So the first product we actually released was a balm. So... this is the long answer to a short question.
That's it. Go for it.
And so it kind of opened my eyes really, really wide as to what there is for your beard. Now, a beard butter, in short, is a beard balm without wax. So a beard balm is tend to used for a leave-in conditioning product with some style, with some hold in it. So obviously you can adjust the beard nice and tidy, and the wax holds it in place. You get different strengths, from rock solid to just kind of this one's like a light hold. So a beard butter is more used, I want to say more used at night, but you can use it whenever you want. To be honest, I love whacking it in the morning and blow drying the beard through because it smells incredible.
Oh, you blow dry it, do you?
No, I do, just because I get after the shower. Yeah, when I get out of the shower, I run some oils into it, and then I blow dry the excess water off, and that sort of stops that water sitting on the chin, because quite a lot of times when you apply a beard oil straight out of the shower, because obviously water and oil doesn't mix, what can happen is you leave the water on the skin and the oil sits on top, and that can actually increase dry skin and sort of damp skin that then dries and can cause itch. So if you've got a long beard especially, I always recommend use an oil, blow dry the water out so that you've got a dry chin, and then sort of massage through the fingers. So a beard butter, essentially they recommend to use it at night as a leave-in conditioner. The one we're about to drop's got stuff like lavender in there and fennel and neroli, so it's quite a nice calming one. So it's aimed for the bedtime. It's kind of like, put it in, hopefully you'll be lights out and beard will feel amazing in the morning as well. So
I'll have to try
that's the idea.
I'll send you some. Oh, thank you. Do you put balm in after the oil, because obviously you wash it, dry it, put the put the oil in, and then put balm on? That's like the way I've been doing it. Is that the way you've been doing it with yours?
Yeah, absolutely. So a bit of oil in, and the great thing about balm is it means your oil's going to last longer, because you don't need to use masses of oil for a beard. And I think that's why a lot of people tend to dislike using an oil, because they'll put loads in and they'll slather it all over the beard, and they say, oh, I don't like it, it feels greasy. Of course it feels greasy, it's oil.
I do that. I put some on seal today and I put like one or two drops on and I like rubbed it and it like, well, have I got any on? But when you put it in, it does go in because I like to have a little puddle in like my hand. And exactly what you do, you put it in and then it's like, well, I've wasted oil because oil's quite expensive. Beard products are expensive. And that's one thing. Is it what companies brought their own out? Is it L'Oreal brought some beard stuff out last year? And that's quite like it's £10 for a little bottle.
The men's collection, I think, is so. I saw recently on Instagram a guy who was talking about it. I know I'm not here to knock any brands, especially the big heavy hitters, because you know that's not what we're here to do. And it does smell incredible. The L'Oreal stuff, I love the smell of it. I think it's like a cedar wood, black pepper. Various sort of, it's very woodsy, very peppery, and it does smell incredible. And the conversation I was having with them, and the difference between, I guess, a huge cosmetic brand bringing out product is that they've got massive overheads, you know. So it's easier for independent companies like myself and many others out there to put better quality oils in there because our margins don't need to be as high, and you know our markups don't need to be excessive because we're not selling to Tesco. You know, if you're selling, or other supermarkets can apply. you know, if you're selling to a large supermarket, you know, they already want massive margin. They want 5x, 10, you know, 5-6x markup on a product. So for them to sell it for a tenner, they want it for £2. You know, so, okay, they're making it on absolute mass, which I guess they have to. But it also means that, you know, you're probably not going to see a high percentage of argan oil or jojoba. You'll see a larger quantity of, like, sweet almond oil or grapeseed oil, which great oils, but they're cheaper. And especially if you're buying sort of vats of it, you know, you'll be getting it at ridiculous prices. So not knocking those products. However, all independent beard care products that do a nice product, various out there, Twisted Mustache, OPs, Fine Fettle, Ernest Thomas & Co., Mariner Jack, you know, loads of wicked independent companies out there will use cracking products because their margins don't need to be so high.
Yeah, so you do oil, you're doing BAM, you've got some soap, haven't you? I've seen your Instagram, you like have some soap.
We did just released our first batch.
So we made what sort of soap is it?
So it's based on the same ingredients as a shampoo bar. So the difficult thing is it's obviously a soap is going to slightly dry the hair up, whether it's a shampooing bar or not. Obviously, that's why you put the oils in. It's mainly the ingredients that we use were to try and obviously alleviate the dry skin, add some conditioning oil to the beard at the same time, but I still would say put oil on afterwards. It's just a tester of ours, really. We played around with a few sort of batches, and then we did this one, which we've just put on the website. I think we did sort of like 10 literally like one batch that I made, and so far so good. It's probably something we'll continue.
So what made you started making the beard care products? Was it because you had a beard already, or did you do it because you saw like a market for it?
So I'm getting warm now. I've had my coffee and I'm outside. So a bit of a strange one, really. We started off selling wooden sunglasses. That was our product. That was the product that we branded. I'd seen wooden sunglasses around various places in the States.
They're really nice.
I love them. They're so light as well, and that was one of the reasons. And I'd looked at these things and I thought, yeah, you know, I would love to start making some and selling them in the UK. And I'm sitting there and I'm racking my brain thinking of branding, and I'm like, bamboozled, you know, there's already a brand called Woodies in the US, and I just got really angry. And Rune Silk actually has been an alias of mine for nearly 20 years. So it's like my Xbox gamer profile. I used to make music back in the MySpace days under Rune Silk Productions. And I was saying to my girlfriend, my wife now, my girlfriend at the time, I'm just going to call them bloody Rune Silk at the minute. I've said, I just can't figure out a name. But she was the one that turned up and said, well, why don't you?
Yeah, why not?
I thought, actually, do you know what? It probably would look quite good. So that's where the sort of the brand name came into it. So it's me. I am Rune Silk, essentially. And yes, so we did sunglasses, and I was selling maybe 5-10 pairs, very, you know, I wasn't really massively marketing it. At this stage, we were very sort of grassroots, had no budget, zero to no budget to spend. And it's always very scary sort of chucking 250 quid at Google ads or Facebook ads for the first time, watching it just disappear and kind of going, shit, yeah. That's a week's, like, you know, a month's shopping or whatever for me and the kids. Just gone, you know, trying to justify that to the missus. Babe, I just spent 250 quid on Facebook. Oh, wicked. How much did you sell? Nothing. Shit. So we started doing markets, and we my first market was in November. I think it was November or the back end of October, trying to sell sunglasses in the high street of Walthamstow. Well, great, lovely place. Well, you know, nothing against Walthamstow, but it is very local, you know, so it's very local community, very local market. And trying to sell sunglasses in the middle, almost approaching the end of autumn, early winter, it would just, I thought to myself, this isn't cricket. And why I didn't start selling them in the summer, I don't know. Might have been because these markets had just started up towards that end of the year. And I thought to myself, right, I need an all-year-round product. You know, sunglasses are seasonal. They do really, really well in the summer. And my cat's come to say hi. They do really well in the summer, but obviously not so much in the winter. You sell a few pairs for sunglasses enthusiasts and people buy them as gifts. And me and the wife, we'd made soaps, and I did play around with making some beard oils for myself. And I was just chucking loads of crap into it and kind of going, yeah, that works. And
yeah,
you know, and that smells average, or that smells really nice, you know, it's probably burning my face, but you know, I made it.
Burning your skin and, underneath your beard.
Yeah, beard feels epic. And from there, I think I don't know why, where the light bulb moment came from, because we would make soaps and we would do things like, I'd do car boots, trying to sell the sunglasses at car boots. I mean, I literally tried everything cheap and basic to try and sell products. And so we started making our own melt and pour soaps and adding some essential oils. And from there, I guess we sort of, we learned very quickly on how to, like the ratios and things that you can use for safety. Because obviously if you're selling people soap, you know, you can't bang a load of horrible essential oils in there that's going to melt someone's face.
No.
So from there, I guess I started learning the more of the cosmetic side, and I just thought, wow, you know, why not just try some beard care products? I played around with some bits and pieces, watched loads of tutorials. Tutorials are great if you want to make your own beard care products, but obviously no one's going to put out a video kind of going, this is how you make the absolute dog bollocks of a product and go and sell it. They're going to give you a standard recipe, a basic recipe. So obviously I did that and I was like, crikey, you know, couldn't even put my finger in it. I was like, that's more of a wax, you know. So you start playing around, and I created the Revolution, which was a black pepper, sandalwood and bergamot scent. Quite subtle, quite... I love it. I still love it because it was our debut scent. I did the brutal thing of going on to Guardians of the Beard and doing what everyone shouldn't do. This is just a don't, you know, word of warning. Go onto these groups and go, I just made a beard care product. Check it out. Because obviously you just get your post deleted, you know, because essentially, you know, a lot of people go onto these pages and immediately they look at them in the wrong way and try and sell people a product. And
yeah.
Take more than they give. So that was a good lesson for me as well, in actually building communities. Now, Guardians of the Beard, the one of the admin on there has his own review channel. So I messaged him and said, ever so sorry for just spamming your page. Would you check out our products? And he said, well, we've got a bit of a waiting list. Send me some stuff. If I like it, I'll put a review out on it. So I was like, okay, cool. So I sent him some stuff, sat there nervously waiting for the video to, you know, the notification come in saying, you've been tagged in a post. Oh, fuck. Literally my daytime now. It's like, you know, if he hates it, that's it. You're rock bottom, just crack on Sunday market in the winter trying to sell sunglasses, Dan. Game over. And he gave it 100% score. It was cracking. We got the Golden Beard Award. So at this stage, I'm like, Golden Beard Award, what's this? This is pretty exciting. So off the back of that, obviously, I was buzzing, you know, first product, first shot at it. Well, it wasn't the first shot. We failed several times. But the first one that I was sort of brave enough to kind of put it out to the world and go, here's my product, was got absolutely outstanding results. The second, so we said we created the oil. And again, we did the same thing as many people, sweet almond oil, and then I added some hemp seed oil at this stage as well, excuse me. So I was sort of, again, looking at grassroots product, how can we do this affordably? So we did a hemp seed oil, sweet almond oil, and essential oil, sent that out, and again, another Golden Beard Award for the oil. I mean, I kind of almost thought we would get it because it's the same scent as the balm, and I thought, well, if you like the balm, then, you know, the oil should be a no-brainer that you'll like. So off the back of that, literally after that, I was hooked on these awards. I was like, oh, these awards are amazing. I'm a bit of a high dopamine function in the fact that, you know, I buzz, you know, I get this, like, ching!
Sorry, can you just repeat that, because we just lost you.
Which bit? Go back to
The bit where you said go back to the Golden Beards Award bit.
On the balm or the oil?
Just like sort of literally about 20 seconds ago.
Okay. So after receiving the Golden Beard Award for the balm and then getting the Golden Beard Award for the oil, mm-hmm. I was hooked on these awards, and I think that it's probably my personality. I'm quite high dopamine function in that I respond to stimuli, you know, the notification pings on my phone, like, ching, made a sale. I get really excited. So yeah. Even still now, I get excited. I've had to turn it off because otherwise I'm like, ah, sale. And so from there, I was hooked on these Golden Beard Awards, and I kind of thought, you know, I became a bit obsessed almost in creating these products that would get high marks. So with the Elements collection, cars come in. With the Elements collection that we released, oh, cracking, we've got someone's just turned up to do on-site tyres, so might have to move into the back garden at some point if they're like, pow, pow, because that's probably going to be the good background noise. So I thought, okay, what's next? And I just kind of sat there thinking, okay, for the next product range, I get bored quite easily. I don't like to just sit on something and then, you know, I want to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And it's been quite hard to not do something for 6 months.
Yeah.
Because I work full time as well. Hold on a minute. This could be great fun. If it does get loud, I'll shoot around the back. So I thought of the Elements collection, which gave me a project for 12 months to release air, water, earth, and fire, which is what I sent you.
Yeah.
And so after looking at all of these bigger brands, like the ones I mentioned earlier, all of which are approved partners of iBeard Club, which we are now, which I'll come back to that a bit later on. A little sneak preview there. So looking at all these amazing products, I thought, right, how can I up my game? So we added stuff. That's when we started adding the argan oil, the jojoba oil. Sea buckthorn oil is in water and fire as well, which is an incredible oil. We then also went back and changed the ingredients for Revolution. So Revolution carried the same base products, base oils as the other ones. So just to really step up the quality of the products, because we could afford to, because we'd sold some and then we had a chance to sort of grow organically and build the brand slowly. Air. For the balm and the oil, Golden Beard Award superior product as well, which is something that the guy that does the review said, not only is it 100%, that's going in my drawer, I'm keeping it.
Brilliant.
Water, Golden Beard Award. Earth, Golden Beard Award. Now, with Earth was a cracker because, so what happens, the guy who does the reviews, he says, right, I'm going to use it for a week, going to give you my review. When he got Earth, he literally, I think it was a day or 2 days after he'd received it, he posted a video saying, okay, this is a bit unorthodox. Usually I wait 7 days to review a product, telling you about this now. Wow, what a product. You know, this is absolutely amazing. Love air, love Revolution, love water. Bloody love this one. And I was just like wow. But, you know, so the response from that was incredible. Then we released Fire and he didn't like it.
Oh.
I was like, that's got 95%.
Did he give a reason why he didn't like that one as much?
He doesn't like cinnamon.
Ah, right. Okay.
He absolutely hates cinnamon and clove-based scents. So he said, look, I can't score it badly. It's a great product, just don't like cinnamon, so I'm going to give it 95. So I was gutted for a while because I was hoping for obviously a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, so that was a brief history of those products there. Recently, we were made an approved partner of iBeard Club. Now, for us, that's like the key milestone that you've made it, because in order to be part of the iBeard Club, obviously, as any person making beard care products, you've got to have a cosmetic product safety report anyway. If you're going to sell cosmetics, you've got to do it legally. You've got to have paperwork to prove that your methods are right and your ratios are good, that, you know, again, that you're not going to burn someone. And they have to have tested and liked your products. And they only have a few spots for approved clubs, approved partners. So, I mean, we've been up there with the likes of Mariner Jack and Broadbeards, Fine Fettle, you know, Ernest Thomas and Co. and Opie's, which are, I would say, probably the UK's best independent beard care producers. And we're up there with them now as well. So that was like literally a huge feeling of like, wow, you know, made it. So we'll see how that goes.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, it's why did you start growing your beard? Because I can remember I grew mine. I just went one day, I'm going to grow a beard for a year. So I sort of did a yeard, because that's what they're called, beard yeard.
Yes.
Then I shaved it down, not skin, but I shaved it down, then grew it again. So like, I haven't been clean shaved for maybe 5 to 6 years now.
Yeah, so, no, it's like... have you seen The Yeard by Daniel Barnes? There's a video, Lad Bible feature.
No. No.
So there's a guy called Daniel Barnes. He did A Yeard and he documented it. So he obviously, and then Lad Bible ran with it. So this video where you can watch him go through the processes of like going completely clean shaven to, yeah, you know, at the end of the year, he's got this absolute monster beard. Didn't even shave, didn't even trim. That's quite good. He's a lovely guy as well. I guess I've always had some kind of facial hair because I hate shaving. It's literally as simple as that. Like, so I used to get a really bad neck rash after a shave, and it, you know, it's horrible. You get spots, and I obviously just didn't learn to shave properly, because people would say, "Oh, you only get spots if you don't shave properly." But I'm like, well, I'm 27 at this stage, and I still haven't learned to shave properly. I'm obviously never going to learn to shave properly. So I used to just click it down quite short. To be honest, you know, it's crazy. I actually can't remember the process between being completely tight clipped. Like, I mean, I always had like lines, like the Craig David lines, yeah, you know, from the age of sort of 18, 19. I'm 37 now. So,
we just lost you then again. Away. We
oh,
lost
sorry,
you for about 10
saying,
seconds again. Yeah.
Oh, so I used to work at festivals. The line I'm not sure you may have got was that. So I can't remember the time where I just kind of just stopped trimming it and letting it grow out. Now, I used to work at festivals. Sometimes that would see me away from home for 3 to 6, 8 weeks at a time. And I think I just came back one day with a bit of a bigger face. and the missus was like, oh, I actually quite like it. So it was never this long. I mean, this recently trimmed. I think it was sort of down to about here recently, and the wife took it down because obviously no barbers at the moment to cut my hair. I started growing it longer because I wanted to enter some beard competitions, and this year was going to be all about the beard competitions. And obviously, typically, COVID just
destroyed
that,
everything.
Yeah,
everything's
exactly
gone. Not just beard competitions.
So I mean, so we were due to go to the British Beard and Mustache Competition in August, which is the one that iBeard Club runs. Huge competition taking place in Rugby this year, but sadly, obviously, that was cancelled. Luckily, we did get to one. We went to Broadbeards in Scotland. So I went all the way up to Glasgow at Drygate Brewery to enter the Broadbeard competition. Me and the wife drove up there for what felt like forever. stupidly got up at 6 a.m. and thought, oh, I'll drive to Glasgow, we'll save money, forget getting a flight, we'll drive. That was really that was a good idea.
That's a long drive.
It is. So part of the rationale behind going to Broad was that I wanted to meet the iBeard Club crew. So And again, if I do a bit of a Pulp Fiction film here, and I'll sort of jump backwards and forwards, part of becoming an approved partner, one of the things that you have to fulfill as a criteria is they have to have met you and acknowledge the fact that you're a decent bloke or a decent woman or you're a nice person in order to be an approved partner. So for me, I kind of thought, okay, so if I go to Braw, hopefully I'll meet the iBeard Club crew, I can talk to them and see if we can become an approved partner, and then they weren't there.
Wow.
So I was like, and then obviously with the news of then the British Beard and Mustache competition being cancelled, I was just like, oh, come on, when am I going to get to meet these guys? Because, you know, I really wanted to just tick that box to becoming an approved partner. However, going to Braw was great. You know, I almost missed my heat. I entered the over four inch natural, strong. Couldn't quite make the 8-inch plus. And I came second, which was cracking. Bear in mind, I almost missed the heat. I was hammered. Me and because we started drinking. It was at a Drygate brewery, and I think I'd set myself a challenge to try as many of their beers, that evening. And I was just out talking the whole night to people because, as you can tell from this podcast, I like to talk a lot. And one of the guys from Home of the Beardos came outside. He's like, "You've just missed your heat." And I went, "What do you mean you've just missed it? Fuck." He's like, no, it's on now. So I ran in and I just got to the back of this queue and I was like, 4-inch natural? And they were like, "Yeah, you just made it." I'm like, out of breath and running, had a couple of cigarettes. I stopped smoking since then, but I had a couple of cigarettes because we kind of did that when we were going out drinking. And lo and behold, I came second. I lost to a guy in a kilt, which I kind of just thought, well, fair play. I'm on their turf. Guy with a kilt's definitely going to win it, right? So that was a really, really big thing for me.
What do the mark your beard on? What's like sort of criteria do like they give to say, yeah, you're second, you're first? Is it?
To be honest, I don't know. I was quite drunk at that point. I don't even know what. I sort of remember walking up, you're sort of standing in this queue, and then they call you over. And the master of ceremonies introduced, you talk to him, what's your name? Where are you from? Sorry, that was a really bad Scottish accent. I won't do that again. I was like, hi, I'm Daniel from Cambridge. Probably sounded really, different from all the way down here. And he's like, I'll go stop doing it. He said, I did not expect a guy from Cambridge to look as good as that. And I was kind of like, yes. And then you sort of stand there in front of this table and they've got judges and I kind of sort of stand to the side. And, I have no idea what I'm doing. So I just moved my head around and they were like, yeah. And then I flicked them a load of RuneSilk stickers and they was like, is that a bribe? I was like, no, it's just a gift. Like, just my present from me to you.
Is that a bribe?
Yeah, just a sticker. I have a sticker, a real crap bribe. It's not tenner, and then they announced the winners and I announced the numbers because they called the three numbers. And I was like, that's not me. And my missus is going, your number's just been called. And I was just like, what? So I'm sort of ran back over again, and I'm listening out. It's like 69 was definitely one of mine, because obviously everyone laughed about that. And right as rain, there was a 141, and I had to look at my badge, and I'm like, why, it's me!
It's me!
So that was really, it was absolutely buzzing. And the nice thing about it was that the guys from Home at the Beardos, you've got Wayne and Big Judge Joe, we all placed. So it's the first time that we'd met these guys. And the thing is, I've spoken to them for so long, and it feels like I've known them for well over a year. But it was the first time we'd met face to face. And for us all to place was amazing. So Wayne came first, which he never lets me live down. I came second, and Joe, Big Judge, came third. I mean, he has got a massive beard. So came third in 12-inch plus, I think it was. And so that was just, it was just a really nice event. So to then have them all cancelled was devastating because I was looking forward to obviously meeting more of these people. But then going back to the IBF, so Pulp Fiction me again, is that I got contacted out of the blue to say we're considering you for approved partner.
Oh, wicked.
By this point, mind's blown because obviously this was the one thing that I'd sort of, you know, aspired to achieve.
Yeah.
Was this approved partnership thing? And I mean, I had sponsored, I had signed up to sponsor a category for their event in August. So, you know, I, from that, I kind of started getting talking to them a bit more and sort of just getting to know them. And, you know, I think from there, just they obviously realized that, you know, I'm not a dick. I'm not just here trying to just make money selling beard products en masse. They said, oh, can you send us some products for us to check out? And unknowingly to me, one of the admin guys, Lee, who's got an amazing award-winning beard. If you search Lee BMG into Facebook, you'll see, in Facebook or Google, you'll see his wicked entries. And he's come first and placed in European ones and that sort of thing. Unknown to me, he bought samples. So we did a free sample campaign recently where we just said, look, pay postage, we'll send you a beard balm and a beard oil. And I didn't realize that he ordered some. And then he then messaged me saying, love that product, going to buy a full size one. And then so after sending all the other products, they apparently they were like, yeah, he's getting signed up as an approved partner.
Oh, so, brilliant.
Really buzzing.
Have you thought about doing a beard brush? Because the beard brush I use at the minute is I ain't got it, I'd like to put it behind me, the wet brush, which is natural boar brush with
looks a bit like a shoe brush.
Oh no, it's not called that. It's called the shine brush, and it's by the wet brush. So it's got like these little plasticky bristles on, and then in between it's got real boar hair.
Nice.
On it.
Nice.
And like I know Kent makes some good ones, but I don't know. I think you should make beard brushes and like, because I don't think there's really any good ones out there.
Mm. So we will expand on our product range. I think for me, because we're still very small, the idea scares the crap out of me investing in any sort of physical thing. You know, I think with the oils at the moment, we still make them in small batches. So if we, I can still, at this stage, I can still make a batch of maybe 20, 30 bottles of oil and not be kind of panicking that I've got no money in the account in case something comes up. And with anything physical accessory wise, in order to get a good price, you've got to buy them by like the thousands.
Right.
I don't want to buy 1,000 of anything yet, because I'll probably sell 10. we got combs, so we did reach out. We've got some combs now, different types of combs, like now, fine combs to wide brush ones.
As I say, the problem I have with cones, because I've got curly hair, it's like tight curls, and that transfers to this. So if you was to pull it down, so it was straight. You like sort of see how like sort of long it actually is compared to what it is. I've got some straighteners. I bought myself some pink Babalos travel straighteners, Babalis.
Yes.
Like sort of straighteners, but I'm just it's
doesn't
just
frizzy. Work, does it?
No.
Your beard type. So
no.
One thing I've spoken to so many people with naturally curly hair. You're fighting a losing battle with straighteners because, I mean, I believe it or not, I've actually got quite a curly beard. I can do not as much as some of yours, but if I pull this bottom bit out of here, you're going to start seeing it comes down quite a lot. Now, mine's straightened literally from the weight of the beard and also blow drying it. But I don't want to get the straighteners because I know it's one of those things in that you spend ages straightening it. You kind of go, oh, look how wicked it looks. And 10 minutes later,
you get it wet.
Oh, crap. Absolutely bugger all. You might like the wide tooth comb we've got. I'll send you one of our wide tooth combs to check out. So what you'll probably find is, welcome, a lot of the finer tooth combs will get caught. So if you've got quite a coarse beard and it's sort of, it does matte, you need one that's got sort of like that sort of thick gaps between the teeth. So it will probably work quite similar to that brush. So essentially with those brushes, you're only really, apologies for that, brushing the outer layer, so the underneath isn't probably getting as brushed as well.
No, that's some sort of way I lift my beard up like that and I bring it down.
You cry.
And I do that. Well, no, it's really soft on them like this because I like I've got a tangle brush as well, one of them small ones. I've got a I've got one of them that I run through it. But again, it's like the plasticky. I like when I first started growing my beard, I bought a book by the world champion beard grower. What's his face? The ginger guy. I don't think he was very well liked on the beard scene.
Sorry about that noise.
That's okay. Because he was in, can you remember they did a beard documentary called Whiskers? Of...
I don't know if I've seen that, to be honest.
No, yeah, check I'll it out. Check it You'll out. Be able to find some things on YouTube. And it's like the World Beard Championships.
No, oh, nice, cool.
Jack Parrish or something like that was his name.
Okay.
And he had a big ginger beard coming all the way down to here.
So I've just started getting into the competition stuff, and I find some of them are absolutely incredible. You know, when you see what they do. I mean, I met a guy at Braw. He won. He's a South African guy living in Scotland. I've spoken to him before. He won he came first in freestyle. I said, "How long did it take you to do your beard?" He said, "It took me and the wife nearly 5 hours because it had like really, really long points, big curls."
I know the sort, yeah.
But it had lots of curls and lots of really straight, dead straight points. It looked wicked. And then he came on stage with these sort of flashing glasses, sort of had all these lines across it and looked wicked, and these light up hands. He was dancing as he came on stage. But I need to start getting a bit more into the competition stuff because I find it, obviously now I'm finding it more interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, like, what's your beard routine to like, sort of, if like, someone come to you and said, "I'm going to grow a beard. Give me some tips on how to grow a beard and your beard care routine." Because it's hard work to keep a beard up.
It is. It is. And I think that's the difficult bit is, and I've actually just written a little bit about this I'm still crap at writing vlogs, but I'm trying. In a recent blog that I posted, which is on our website, about why I grew the beard. And I think, or why I didn't grow the beard, and it's for anyone, it's that phase where you just look a twat, like, you know, without, but the only way I have to say it, I have to be as blunt as that, when you kind of got bits that sort of longer than the others, and it's the difficult bit is if when you're growing it from here to try and get that to overlay into this part, and you got there's a phase between having a beard and having what I call professional beard, like a fine stubble, a clean grade 2, grade 3 sort of beard. And it's getting past that phase that everyone struggles with. They kind of go, look, I can't have a beard like that. And the only thing we have to say is leave it. Just let it grow. If you take some time off work if you have to, because you are going to look... because you are going to look, you know, for about a week or two, 3 weeks, even a month, you know, there is going to be a face. You're going to look at your face and you're going to trim it because you kind of go, I can't go out like that. I can't, nah, I'll never suit, I won't suit a beard. You just have to just let it grow, you know. But it's almost like the Frozen song, isn't it? I think there's a Frozen version of that song called Let It Grow.
I know when I was starting, my... the underside of the chin, and a lot of people on the Facebook groups were saying there's a small patch here that don't grow as much, but then it'll just poof, grow.
Yeah.
And people have patches, and people, yeah. I mean, I'm quite lucky that I must have a lot of testosterone because mine grows quite good. It's thick, it's nice, but other people have patches, and like I've seen them like that, and everyone was saying leave it, let it grow. It might take a bit more time. And they say, well, is there anything I can do to help? And people were saying, well, maybe try some exercise, try and get your testosterone levels up. Yeah. So, it, you know, have a healthy body and healthy mind. And that transfers to your hair.
Drink water and all this sort of stuff. To be honest, this is going to sound really controversial, but I almost want to just say bollocks. Like, look, not all beards aren't created equal. You know, some people, and my dad can't grow a beard. So I obviously get this from my mum. my mum's side, because if she does hear this, I'm going to get a proper clip round the ear for that.
Oh,
but my dad can't grow a beard for shit. Like, literally, he used to grow in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. He had this stupid looking mustache and no beard hair. So, you know, where I get mine from, I don't know. It's got to be grandfathers or I did one of those DNA tests and I'm 36% Scandinavian, so we'll just say it was from the raping and the pillaging from the early 1100s or whatever that was. So beard routine. Okay, so how to stop a patchy beard? See answer one, let it grow. If you've got patches here, grow the top a bit more and hopefully it will all just come in. If not, just shave these bits, leave this to grow, and just have a whaler. Is it a whaler? So many different beard styles. You know, you don't have to go for a traditional. I mean, I've seen some wicked beards of people who have just got hair coming off the chin, like a good solid beard. It's called I can't remember what it's called. It's not the Fu Manchu or the partial. They keep this completely clean and just have the beard at the front. You know, there's so many different styles to play around with.
I mean, when I did my year, I just let it grow. I didn't really trim it. Maybe if it was a hair, I might pull it off, but I had one of them little Kent mustache brushes. And even in the very early stages, I was just combing it. Like, even when it was close to the skin, I was just combing it to try and get it. And then I seemed to go through phases, though. Like, was a stage when it was about here where it just looked dreadful. It just sort of, like, shriveled up like a bit of, like, fungus and mold. But then in a week's time, it was, like, started growing out. So when you said before, you've, like, got different periods. The most hard period for me was, and it lasted about a week, was the itching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's a big problem in the early phases. Because people always say to me, so itchy. I'm like, never have I've been so itch-free. You know, I go back to when I was saying about shaving. Like, when I used to shave my neckline, I mean, I have not shaved under here for years. When I used to shave, I was really horrible. I'd have those ingrown hairs, and it would look horrible. I put a shirt on. For me, I guess before, I used to work in the events industry, and it was corporate events, so I kind of always had to look fairly well presented. So wearing a shirt and tie on a clean shave would just irritate the neckline. So getting past that itchy phase, I guess that's where I would say, look, just get yourself a good oil, because it's the dry skin, it's the hair and beard hair, essentially. It's a moisture robbing bastard. So as it grows, it literally, you've got to think, you know, it's pulling the oils away from the skin as it grows. So your skin's actually getting robbed of that oil. So a lot of people say, oh, a beard oil makes your beard look good and it makes your beard softer. It does, 100%. But it's also good for the skin. That's why you see things like, that's why I put hemp seed oil in our beard oil, because it's good for the skin. Same as jojoba and argan, that it's good for the skin and the hair. So you put that moisture back on the skin. I mean, I reckon if I shave this beard off, 23 underneath that, guaranteed I'm 23.
Yeah.
I'd look about the rest of the lines and stuff will come with age, but under here, I reckon I've got like a 12-year-old face.
Have you ever thought about starting again, shaving it off or trimming it down, or are you quite happy with that length?
My wife threatened to leave me if she sees my face again. I think she said. Really? She said I don't think I could see it. So,
nice.
Basically, what she's saying is, saying you're an ugly bastard, and I prefer you when I can only see 35% of your face. No, I think it's you see those videos, don't you, where dad walks in, scares the shit out of his 4-year-old child, cries for the next 3 months because daddy's not got any face hair anymore. That reminded me of another funny song. There's a song that's always goes something along the lines of, if you've got a beard, you've got two mums. Two beardless mums. That's another song they play on the iBeard groups, reminded me of. But I did say to her, I wanted to do a yeard. And I said, my plan was, and I still might do it, So the British Beard and Moustache competition due in August will obviously take place now in 2021. So I thought maybe it would be quite cool to document me shaving the lot off. The problem is, if it looks bad, I'm probably never going to go on camera again for 6 months until it grows back. But I was actually planning on shaving it off in August and then just turning up to the competition the following year, seeing what happens. But the problem is, you don't know what category you'll fit in. Usually you have to book a category. So, you know, if I booked in like a 6-inch and it was about 12.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could change it. But I thought that would be quite cool. But to be honest, I don't know if I want to see what I look like.
No. I mean, I sometimes do it to a number 7, and I sometimes regret it. So I think this year I'm just going to let it grow out until maybe this time next year, depending on what work says, because they just take the mick out of me when I go into work and say, oh, look at you, you look like a tramp. I'm like, thanks.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? But I think I saw recently as and I always try and avoid these sorts of things. I don't want to offend anyone, you know. Obviously, saying to people, you know, beards aren't born equal might offend some, but that's not what I meant when I wasn't trying to offend anyone. But I think I saw, I can't remember what beard company it was, and I won't name them even if I could. There was a caption that said something along the lines of, look less homeless. And I thought, that can't be good marketing material, surely. Like, for fuck's sake. You know, look less homeless. So, yeah, I think you've got to try and get away from that sort of almost, you know, stop looking like a hobo or a hippie or, you know, whatever. And, that's it. It's without saying those sorts of things, it's difficult, isn't it, to get past that phase of having a respectable looking beard. Like for me, you know, luckily for me, the job that I recently took, well, I'd say recently, a year ago, I work in marketing for an IT company. And luckily, I applied for a job with a beard, you know. And then I told them that I was entering a competition, so it's probably going to get bigger. So I did forewarn them. But I know that a lot of places, you know, they frown upon it. I mean, I refer back to my corporate events days, you know. And I mean, I've got this top piercing, and I used to have both ears pierced. And I didn't take this out for my interview, but I did take my earrings out. Having two ear, you know, for that kind of job, it's for a college, for one of the colleges at Cambridge University. And I went into work one day with both the earrings in. My boss said, take them out. You know, she was like, what? I didn't realize you had both your ears pierced. Can you remove those, please, while you sat on the front desk? And I just thought, I think that for me was a day I was like, I never want to work for anyone ever again that's going to sort of judge me for what I look like, you know, in terms of that. So I think for me, luckily, you know, I used to work quite a lot of festivals. So I used to do a lot of site management. I once upon a time had a company doing on-site transport. It was called Fest Taxi. If you've got any listeners that are big festival goers, especially family festivals, they may well have used the service. We literally took people from their car to their camp in a golf buggy with a trailer.
It's a bit like a shuttle system. You get park and ride.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, you park up in the car park, we'll pick you up, lug all your camping gear in the back, and take it off to the campsite. Now, I did that for about 8 years. So at the time, I had the freedom, I guess, to just look like shit. I'll put it politely, because I grew my hair out. I had big beard, you know, and I could. I say look like shit. I love it. I, you know, my wife loves the look, but a lot of people, not done, uncovered, can't hide him, probably takes loads of drugs during work. It's like, okay, I did, you know, back in the, but yeah, you know, it's very easy to be judged, isn't it, on your appearance. And I think this is why now, because everyone's kind of going, fuck you, I'll look how I look, more people are now embracing the beard. And for me, I think it's cracking, because you know, more people are growing beards in the workplace. They're, you know, you're now allowed to grow them in the forces as well. In some, I think there's some restrictions in the RAF because the air masks just won't do the job if you've got a beard. I mean, if I show you around here real quick, you know, I make shit out of wood and I'm sanding all the time. So I know firsthand that if I put a beard mask on, you know, it's pointless. Beard mask, you know, like a dust mask.
It's because it doesn't seal properly, does it?
No. So no. I get that there's certain jobs, and a lot of people in the NHS recently have had to shave. I mean, you know, we've had quite a few people who, you know, have come to us and said, because I like to talk to my customers, I like to build like a bit of a relationship and a bit of a community. Because it's the nice thing about being a small business, you know. And I talk to my guys, you know, how are you going? Oh, damn, I've just had to shave my beard off. And I'm like, you know, look, man, I commend what you're doing. I'm here when you need me again, you know. And that's, you know, it's difficult. And I think for someone to be told that you've got to shave, I think if I was working with someone now and they said, if you don't shave, you've lost your job, I'll just be like, see you later, then I'll just crack on. Sorry. No. Get my Friday rant out there.
So, like, what's the plans going forward for, like, your beard care business? Is there anything, I because of COVID, more things are starting to turn up now, where more, like, open markets, for instance, have started up again. Will like, you be doing any craft markets or, like, things like that, like a store? Because I'm guessing they'll be all coming up soon.
Yeah, well, so prior to lockdown, we used to do... we used to have a market stall in Brick Lane, in the upmarket, which is an indoor market. It's not the main famous Brick Lane outdoor market, but it's a stone's throw from there. And obviously with COVID, that got stopped. Now they have already opened some of the outdoor stuff, and they're putting their precautions in place. And they've offered for us to come and trade for free, which is lovely. But problem with my products is they're face related. So, you know, if people, for us to try our sunglasses, for example, we're going to have to then wash them down after every time someone cleans them, you know, really meticulously get the sanitizer out. And
yeah,
and I'm quite a person. I mean, I physically put balm in people's faces at markets, you know. Well, kind of, I put some in my hand just to show them, and they've kind of gone, oh, go on then. And, you know, I'll quite happily just go, oh, yeah, and then just brush it through and put it on their beard. I can't do that. I don't think I personally could go back to the market yet, because it would just feel so sterile. And I think for me, because it is quite an in-your-face type product, you know, you've got to welcome people, smell it, have a smell of this, try this, put it in the beard. So for us, we're going to see how it goes. We need a complete uplift, really, before we go back. And I guess it's been a good thing, because if I go back to talking about, like, the budgets and stuff like that, we never really used to do any online advertising. A bit frugal, me, I guess. I didn't really want to spend the money and not see immediate return. We didn't really do any online advertising. So COVID for us has kind of forced our hand to spend a bit on online advertising. It's actually worked quite well. So we will go back to markets for sure, because I think being a scent-based product is so subjective. You know, you need to smell it. You know, it's like an aftershave.
Definitely.
You don't kind of go blindly going to try some of that. You know, you're going to Boots or other department stores and you'll smell a perfume or an aftershave before you buy it. So that's, I guess, it's one of the challenges you have with beard care products, because just, you know, you might turn around and say, oh, I absolutely loved that fire, Dan, but someone else would go, oh, no, what is he talking about? It's horrible. So, you know, it's very subjective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Plans, we will go back to doing that, and we will release product lines and bits.
Yeah, it's so you say you've got a website, so if people wanted to find out more about your product, whereabouts would they go to and find you? Because I'm guessing, well, you're definitely on Instagram. Have you got a Facebook account?
So we've got a couple of Facebook accounts. We've got the Instagram, it's just at RuneSilk, RuneSilk. Facebook, we've got a Facebook page of the same, so just /RuneSilk. We've also got the RuneSilk Revolution, which is a private group, so people can come and chat about beards and stuff like that. You know, what you say stays in the RuneSilk Revolution, which is quite nice. At the moment, there's about 200 of us in there.
Wicked.
And yeah, it's a nice little group.
Definitely.
I mean, it's where our ambassadors are in there as well. So if people have questions, you know, we've got people who use our products regularly who can talk to people and say, yeah, absolutely banging, try that one. You know, people share stuff. We have competitions as well, so we do quite a lot of random giveaways. You know, just post a picture of you doing something. We did one recently. It was an elements-based one. Introduce an element into your selfie and win. And the guy won, literally had tipped soil all over his head and put a sunflower on his head. So he got first place. So loads of random giveaways. But our website is runesilk.com. Www.runesilk.com. You can find all of our oils, our balms. Obviously, I'm quite personable. So if you have any questions, if you email info@runesilk.com, I'm the guy that answers it. You know, we don't have the massive team, so you'll speak to me. So if you need any advice, I tend to help.
That's cool. Well, what I'll do is I'll put all your descriptions and everything. Obviously, I can't put your Facebook one on because I'm not on Facebook, but I will put your Instagram address bar on, and obviously say you can be found at Facebook. So that's it. But yeah, as I say, the bits you've sent me still smelling great. Really
nice. Which one
did
you try today? Which one did you go for?
I can't remember which one it was.
Is it minty?
No, it's a bit sort of, it's like a woody smell.
So there might have been earth then. So I fire, you'd know, because fire is quite fiery.
Yeah,
it's like big chewing gum.
Yeah, it smells a cedar woody, sort of fresh, earthy, woody sort of smell. So yeah. I'm guessing that's the one it is. But I'm quite looking forward to trying them all. Like you did say, I've never thought about putting it on before I go to bed. Because I've always thought, you don't do that. But obviously, maybe you do. I mean, I've had a beard for 6 years and I've never done it, so.
It does feel incredible. Like, you wake up and you're just like, it feels a lot softer. So the beard butter that we're about to drop, it's made of shea butter, mango butter and cocoa butter. We've also added rapeseed oil, argan oil, jojoba oil and sea buckthorn oil. And yeah, you just put a little bit on before bed and it will just feel insane the next day. So as soon as the labels arrive, I'm going to send you a tin of the butter and the wide tooth comb, see how you get on with that, see if that's an alternative, can't speak, if that's an alternative to a normal comb that you've used before. And it's also just nice to sort of slip in the pocket as well, you know, nice back pocket, shirt pocket, whatever type of comb.
Yeah, because the only other combs I've tried are cowboy comb. I don't know if you've seen them, the cowboy combs. No, they've got sort of a little mustache sort of comb thing. Go check them out. They're like they're quite cool combs, but you can't unless you pull your beard and then do it like that. But then you've got to get under the undergrowth, and then before you know it, it's so painful. Small? Yeah, I don't know if I haven't got any anywhere. They're like sort of put away. They're about that big, and they've got like a mustache thing.
I've seen similar stuff. I think I might have got one. I got one of these tins, like a beard care survival kit, 1 year, and it had like an oil in there, some small little toenail scissors that they were selling as mustache scissors, and a mustache shaped comb. We've got what's called the Beard Buddy, and it's more of a novelty than it is a beard comb. It looks cool, but to be honest, I like to brush my beard with wood.
There, I can, like, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, I have seen it. You see those in crackers as well, I'm sure I've seen those in crackers. Smaller ones, like.
Yeah, this is some sort of. No, it's like some sort of ABS plastic. And it's. Like, they're quite expensive, to be fair, for what they are.
Yeah. I like wood because, I mean, we're trying to move away from plastic as much as possible. So, and even our packaging, you know, I don't see. If we get into bigger shops, obviously, we're going to probably have to look at an outer box. But personally, I think, what's the point? Because all you do is you take it out of the box and you just put the box in the bin. I'm thinking, well, what's the point? What's the point of me paying a little bit more to make it look a little bit better for you to just put it in the bin?
I was just saying, you sent this as well, and I like, so novel,
they're
so nice.
Business cards. Yeah, they're going to be our business cards. So they're going to be lasered on the back with our sort of email address on and stuff like that. So they're just cards to issue out, and it's just something a little bit different. You know, we don't. All the packaging we use when we send products out are all recycled. The cardboard tube. Now, with the beard oils, we do put it in a cardboard tube. I guess you could say it's our box. But the great thing about the tube is it's sturdy. So if you're going away, you know, rather than chucking a beard oil in your bag and it sort of breaking open or opening by accident, it's like almost like a, you know, like a Glenfiddich whiskey bottle when you've got that sort of that. You know, you pop it off and you probably put the bottle back in that tube as well and put it on your shelf rather than, but it's a bit more like that. So it's just a cardboard cylinder, but it's also good if you're going away, slip it in the tube and chuck that in your bag. So it's just got that element of protection. And we've also put sort of like cowpole style lids on them now as well. So they won't open accidentally in your bag. You know, you've got to push down and turn.
It's a bit of a nightmare when it goes everywhere, isn't it? Because you're cleaning it up for absolutely ages if it leaks anywhere.
It's definitely second to the worst experience I've ever had. When I was at uni, we moved into a house in my second year. Well, I had my my first child as well. And I dropped a bottle of fish sauce, smashed. I used about 4 or 5 squirts out of it, literally, like, to make one thing, you know, like a, right. That's all that was out of it. It'd run underneath the cupboards, underneath the fridge. Oh, fuck. A whole litre, pretty much, or a 700ml bottle of fish sauce. So that's second to that is spilling oil everywhere that you have to clean up because, you know, it's slippery as well for ages, isn't it? So, I mean,
yeah.
That's the only downside to making your own beard care products in small batches. I bloody hate tidying up afterwards because oily products are so annoying to clean. You know, there's always a residue of oil somewhere, you know, so.
Yeah, it is. But, thanks for coming on. Thanks so much for the samples you sent. I'm going to obviously, I might do a YouTube video on them. I might do a review on them yet. I don't know. Cool. I was thinking about that. Something different. But thanks again for coming on, and thanks again for sending me them things out. Don't people forget, it's a free speech podcast. Everyone's welcome on it. Again, I will have people on you probably won't agree with, and I'll have people on you will agree with. I've had people on I don't agree with, and I've had people on I do agree with. I just think we need a middle ground, especially with everything what's happening. I think we need a middle ground where people can say, well, I think this is wrong, I think that's wrong, because shouting and hitting people's not solving anything. It just creates more madness. And
I agree with that.
And that's one of the reasons why I've done the free speech podcast. So if you don't want to, if like you see someone or hear something that offends you, just don't listen to it and don't watch it. It's as simple as that. But I don't think people know that. we as a human race like to moan about things, and we need drama in our life, I think, to keep us occupied. I think this lockdown sent people a bit crazy.
I would agree.
have you been busy due to the lockdown with people just saying, oh, sod it, I'm just going to grow a beard out?
My other business has been very successful. I didn't talk about that one very much because I always find it's a bit of an odd one, you know. And I know obviously we're wrapping things up and this is probably a different topic for a different time. But it's 2014, I took over a business from my best mate selling Tenga products. Tenga's a Japanese brand of adult toys. Maybe we'll leave that there for another conversation, but obviously during lockdown sales went right up in the air.
I'll tell you what we'll do, we'll book you on after this. I'll have a word with you after and we'll do that, because definitely,
yeah, I think that'd be a really good one actually. Obviously you might want to probably cut this one out of this one if you want to, it'll be a really interesting topic.
It's all unedited, the podcast, and that's another thing I wanted to get away from. I wanted it to be all where it's just like a raw podcast, so it's no bullshit. What you hear and what you see is what actually happening. Because there's too many people getting diddled and saying, well, you said this, and it's taken out of context or it's spliced and split into another question. But, yeah, so, that's what it is. But, yeah, we'll arrange that after, we've gone.
yeah, we'll catch up on that. It'll be a great, great addition. So, anyway, thank you so much. Like I said, I'll get some bits out to you. If you do a video, that'll be great. Thanks, everyone, for listening to me ramble on for ages. I do chat shit for a bit. Please do support local. Check us out. Nice. Have a good day, guys.
Cheers, dude. Bye-bye.
All the best.
Bye. The Tea Biscuits Podcast.